This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the red status. Our positivity over the last 14 days just edged into the red status at 5.03. So 0.03 over the line. We recap the town council meeting. Community Preservation Committee was created. The approval for the committee itself was created. The water treatment plant payment was authorized from the emergency funds. And this at least temporarily closes the spear phishing incident, at least from a misdirected funds basis. Obviously, the incident is still open for further investigation, and we talk about that in detail. And then we close this last session of 2020 by looking ahead into 2021, where we're planning at this point to go bi-monthly, twice a month, leading to topics on the town council calendar and a more of an editorial content alignment. Clearly, we were aligned and prepared as we went into each of these sessions this past year, but we're looking for further integration as we go forward next year. There's always room for current topics, and we'll always make time for that. If we need to go back to a weekly schedule as we have in December, we'll do that as well. Links to the key topics covered here are included in the show notes. The recording runs around 32 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne Marie. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on the local Franklin area radio dial at 1029. Another Talk Franklin session in the last one of 2020. Not 19. Where did 19 come from? The last one for 2020. And welcoming our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Steve.
And marketing communication specialist, Anne Marie Tracy. Happy Friday to you, too.
Happy Friday to you, Steve. I can't believe this is the last one of 2020.
It's amazing. And we were talking I'm going to do the numbers. They'll be with the show notes. But I'm estimating that we're between 25 and 35 sessions this year for Talk Franklin.
That's great.
That's amazing.
I hope the listeners are enjoying it a little bit. I hope they feel a little more informed. And I think that, I look forward to seeing some of the numbers in terms of the amount of hits and listeners that we've had from show to show over the year. I think that's huge. And as we're just kind of quietly talking about offline really quickly, I mean, I think this is a medium that, is a big value added. And I think there's a huge audience out there. Anne-Marie and I talk about this, and she's been a big proponent of this since she came, where she really wanted to get into the Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor,
right,
try to get this kind of content out there, because it is an expansive format that does allow for, I think, an invitation from hopefully the audience into the conversation and understand a little more three-dimensional depth of what we do in government, not just the headline or the soundbite or the social media post.
Right.
I think a lot of people out there, and I hope your listeners feel the same way, obviously that's probably why they're listening, but feel a little bit more depth to this stuff and realize that, we are a fairly sophisticated operation with a lot of tremendous capacity in Franklin, and I hope people have enjoyed it, and no one's looking forward to the lapse of 2020 more than the three of us.
For sure.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. We've had a lot of successes, and we'll get to that. But the one other change recently, unfortunately, is now we just slipped into the red status at a 0.03% over the red line.
I know. Ouch. It seems like a joke, right? It's like 0.03%. It is kind of a joke. But I mean, in all seriousness, here are the facts. This is really reflective of, I think, the Thanksgiving bump. This is a bit of an innocent bystander in the fact that the numbers and the way DPH, the State Department of Public Health, calculates their numbers. Today's data could be added on for day 15. and based on the metrics would show that we'd be below the 5% today, right? But we got to wait another week. Yeah. And we saw this week, the case numbers went down in the course of a week from 135 active cases to 95 active cases. Almost one third of those individuals have been healed, which is and are healthy, which is great news with no fatalities. But you know, that most people listening might say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't really make any sense other than the fact that, you know, the state has to have some sort of consistent procedure and metric to show so that we're all on the same playing field across the Commonwealth. You know, this is really just a timing issue between when they began to calculate the 14 days up to yesterday. And so we are officially in the red for the first time. It's important to note that this literally has zero impact on the town of Franklin's organization. It has no impact on any decisions the superintendent of schools is going to make.
Right.
And it does not have any impact on any businesses in town, because to be in the red, you have to be in the red for 3 weeks. And then that following fourth week, you actually then have to be restricted back to phase 3.1 from 3.2. We've been in the top, we've been in the phase that is allowed for the most open retail, open business, open restaurants since they came up with this system.
Right.
But now, if we were in it for 3 or 4 weeks, we'd have to go back to phase 3.1, but the governor already put the entire state back in phase 3.1 2 weeks ago. So
no impact.
Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it's really not that big of a deal. Also, I would note that this is all relative to the actual cases. So what the actual statistics are is, you know, basically, you had 161 cases that tested positive out of 3,198 tests within those 14 days. So, like I said, if you're one or two cases fewer than 161, we wouldn't be in this position. Or if we had another 10 tests taken, you know, we wouldn't be in this position. But that's the way the state calculates the data. And so that's why the map is red today.
Right.
And, you know, we would obviously be really hopeful that next week that'll change back to yellow. There was some conversation among the board and health agent and I for actually some weeks, because the cases were going down so quickly in terms of active cases. We were thinking and aiming towards actually getting back into the green.
Yeah.
Be that as it may.
Yeah.
I think Franklin overall has been doing a tremendous job, as I said, at many, many meetings on managing the infection rate. For a community our size, this is still actually really good news, where communities larger than us are still getting decimated. They've been in phase 3.1 for months.
Right.
You know, they've had to have a lot more restrictions. And so, you know, still all is well in Franklin.
Yeah. I think if anything, this is kind of the warning shot, if you will, to your point that if we do continue 3 weeks, then things change. But again, not really, because we're already there. But it's the warning shot. Wake up. Yes, masks are important. Social distancing is important. Everything that we have been doing, we still need to do. We're not done yet. So especially with the holidays coming up, you got to be careful.
Yep. And there will be some holiday guidance. I think Anne-Marie has been working with the Board of Health to get some additional stuff up and out to the community, some banners. You know, on the bridge, I think we're also going to be doing some additional social media, and I think there's going to be some additional outreach through our public safety department.
Definitely have some things in the works.
Yep. Good. Cause I recorded with Kathleen Liberty yesterday. So that'll be coming out early next week as well to help that kind of media awareness that we're good. Yeah, we're at 0.03 over, but let's continue to do what we need to do, which is what generally we have been doing.
Well, let's say we go back down into the yellow next week or the next few weeks, right? I mean, then we're going to have another holiday, potential holiday blip.
Right.
So I think the important piece is how we all handle the holidays. You know, obviously Christmas, but, you know, also New Year's Eve. You know, we've got to be cautious about that. And, you know, it is worth noting that the 9:30 curfew for restaurants and bars will still remain in place on New Year's Eve. And so hopefully people can do the right thing and
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, the midnight situation certainly wouldn't be different anyway. Never mind now with a curfew. Yeah, you definitely have to be home for the midnight drop.
I mean, I usually never watch that stuff. I am watching it this year because I want that ball down so fast. Don't even wait for midnight. Just drop the darn thing.
I was gonna say,
get it down and let's just go. I signed something the other day. I signed up something the other day for 2021, and I wrote it in the chat. I said, that is the best thing one of the best things that's happened all year. Now I'm writing 2021 on dates for calendar invites and deadlines for staff. Mm-hmm. This felt great.
Good. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. In terms of a recap, town council meeting this week had two big topics, at least in terms of the big takeaways for folks to be aware of, and kind of the culmination of passing the Community Preservation Act in the November election. The council has now set up the bylaw to create the Community Preservation Committee of 9, which, you know, the details will be forthcoming. There's 5 permanent members, if you will, from 5 standing boards, and then an opportunity for 4 local folks to participate with appropriate backgrounds, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. So not to outdo the, I'm sure, eloquent comments on the Thursday afternoon quarterback show, but the Community Preservation Committee bylaw was formed. This is the actual requirement that's put in place, really the only requirement in the statute, that when you accept the Community Preservation Act, you have to set up a town bylaw and a Community Preservation Committee. Maximum 9 folks, minimum 5. We're probably trying to set up a webpage in the next few weeks. The standing committees are the Housing Authority, the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, the Historical Commission, and the Recreational Advisory Board. So one member from those committees will be chosen to serve on this committee. And then there'll be 4 at large. And, you know, the goal is to, you know, try to put out a public posting of interest to the entire community, much like I've done with the Finance Committee recently, the Planning Board and other committees, to try to get more folks in the community involved, engaged on how their money is spent. And here's a great opportunity for any of the listeners out there, if you're interested in open space and historic preservation, recreation, affordable housing, this might be a great opportunity for you. And so that committee posting will hopefully be out sometime in January. And then, you know, we hope to have appointments done by sometime in February or March. So we encourage everybody to throw their hat in the ring that they think might want to be involved in this. It's going to be a fair amount of work. You know, it's going to be a lot of capacity building. There's a lot of nuance. I wanted to get the committee process moving because I do think collections start in July. There's a lot of anticipation of this. The community, you know, spoke, as I joked, Steve, you were there that night when I referenced the fact that even myself, when I was a 23-year-old new employee of the state, I came out to Franklin in October of 2001, right after Jeff Nutting got here, and I gave a presentation to try to see if the town was interested in passing the Community Preservation Act. It's just a funny coincidence. But, you know, here we are 20 years later, maybe a little bit late, but better late than never. And it's going to take the community a little while, like it does any town that I've worked with in my career, to learn about what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, what's the backlog of projects, what are the ideas that people have out there, what's the procedure to apply. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of work the committee's going to need to do. Traditionally, a lot of newer committees too reach out to other committees to, you know, get that sense of what they're doing. You know, and I wanted them to have that opportunity, you know, this spring heading into the summer, to have some time to build that. Chrissy Welton in my office is going to be officially staffing the committee for the long haul. Obviously, the town attorney and I will be involved as it gets going, but it's just a good plug out there for people to throw their hat in the ring. And that announcement won't be out until January. So
I second your point, certainly getting the committee ready, because there's going to be work ahead of them to understand what they're about. As I understand it, they're not going to be the one preparing the proposals. They're the ones who are doing the validation, the due diligence around whoever's going to be bringing to them the proposals for this or that, whatever those projects are. and do that due diligence before it goes to the town council, if it's going to go, for them to make the final decision in terms of the approval and the funding for it. So
they vet them and they recommend the projects. Absolutely.
Yeah. So just understanding that they're not so much a doer committee as a reviewer committee is going to be a nuance that they're going to have to build their process. What's an application going to look like? What's a proposal going to look like? What questions am I going to ask? And granted, some proposals are going to go in different ways. So there's going to be some questions on one that they may not ask on another, but yeah.
Another big piece is conflicts of interest, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, a lot of people in the community, it's not an indictment on any one individual, but you know, you have a housing authority or an affordable housing trust or historical commission that may benefit from these things. There's some statutory pieces where in order to send CPA funds, for example, on historical preservation items, the historical commission has to actually designate that of historical significance. There's a little nuance in there that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And those members need to understand the conflicts of interest involved in that. They also need to understand those procedures. So those applicants, doesn't prohibit them from having money, but it is something that, you know, the committee needs to understand those mechanics. So they're prepared, you know, in a year or so when the money comes in.
Yep, indeed. And you mentioned Thursday quarterbacking the town council meeting, put a plug in as well. I did talk with Tom Mercer in kind of that quarterback review to get his insights as a recap, and that'll be coming out as well. So people can certainly listen to this, listen to that, and there'll be more coming on the Community Preservation Committee. Because as I think we've talked last week, even all those topics are around us all the time. So these are definitely things that will continue to be a conversation, and we'll finally get to a point where the projects, as they get conceived, will have a by design should have a broad discussion around it in order prioritizing. Granted, we've got separate money, doesn't have to come out of the town funds, but it has to be prioritized because there's not a deep well there.
I think the biggest issue is going to be open space in the next decade.
I mean,
you've really, the town's really got about a handful of large parcels left, very unique ones that are probably the last of their kind in town.
Right.
They're also the most expensive.
Yeah.
You know, fixing the cupola on top of the museum's a $70,000 or $80,000 item. Affordable housing usually is a long trajectory too, but you know, you're never going to build a housing complex with this kind of money. But the open space one is the one I think that, you know, probably a fair portion of people in town voted for this for, and that's the one that's going to get right out of the gate quick. In terms of, you know, these parcels in town that are kind of the last large developable pieces of land, you know, the Schmidt, Maple Hill, there's a few others. That's going to be the one, to your point, Steve, about prioritization, that's going to take, you know, probably the biggest amount of conversation in this committee.
Yeah, indeed. And the other key piece coming out of the council meeting was the, at least on an interim basis, putting kind of some closure to it. Clearly, the investigation's ongoing, the spearfishing piece is not done, but the misdirected funds were at least reallocated, if you will, to pay the vendor, which is the important step that we need to do at this point.
He actually left me a voicemail while I was then on the phone, you know, to get an update. You know, like I said during the presentation of the cyber attack, which plug, people should go watch Franklin TV, Franklin Matters Audio, or the live stream that was there that's on the town website. It's worth the 2 hours if this was a topic that you read about in the paper and you're worth more. I pointed people that direction and that didn't see it, they read it in the paper, and they have all replied back to me that they were really happy that I sent them those links. So if there's any listeners out there that's still wondering about that, they should go check it out. But one of the points I make that night is, among all this, we have to remain focused on where this came from, which was the water treatment plant project that's in the final 20 yards to get the ball in the end zone. And this payment is critical. We have not been charged interest on this for the late payment, which has been, you know, great from the vendor's perspective. They understand what's going on. They've been working with us, but we also need to get that bill paid. So the insurance money that came in that is accommodating for a little over 40% of the lost revenue will also go towards that payment. And then we were able to take a majority of the funds out of the Water Enterprise Emergency Fund, as well as the discipline from lost wages from the treasurer collector herself. There was a formal vote that was needed to appropriate that. Unfortunately, there was a unanimous vote from both the Finance Committee this week and a unanimous vote from the Council. And we're incredibly grateful for them to do this. I mean, we have to get that treatment plant. It's on schedule. It should be opening up in 2021. Hopefully that by that point, we'll be able to have an open house and show people that. I really hope so, because it's an amazing, amazing facility. And the contractors are doing a great job. So that got tied up this week as well.
Sure. Indeed. Indeed. And then setting up for 2021. We will continue. This is the last one, as we talked, of this year. But going forward, twice a month, and we'll get a little bit more planful. Not that we haven't been planful. Clearly, as people have listened, we've had a plan as we've come into each one of these, and the discussions have been good. But now we're getting more of another term might be an editorial calendar, if you will. So there's clearly things that are coming up through to the town council based on certain timings, and we'll be able to link in and have some of those either pre-discussions here or certainly the recap discussions here as well.
I think it's going to be great to, you know, enter 2021, have a, you know, our schedule, and just keep building upon what we've already accomplished with this platform. I think it's been great.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've worked out a new timing schedule amongst us too. So hopefully we can get the content out in a timely manner that, you know, tries to at least, you know, provide the content in the time that most people are willing to use it and listen in. It looks like we're going to do them probably every couple of weeks, Steve. I've heard a lot of great feedback in the community from this. And so hopefully we can keep it going, and looking forward to, again, 2021.
Indeed. Yeah. And I think the every other week, clearly, as we started this time this year, we were starting to go monthly. The pandemic hit, we went weekly. I think we've found that kind of every other week, you know, the every 2 weeks kind of is a better fit for, clearly a lot of things are happening, but the town government respectfully also moves a little bit slower in some ways. So every 2 weeks is probably a good appropriate period, and will change as needed. That's one of the good things about your flexibility and my flexibility to that extent, that as long as our health holds, yes, we can do that.
I agree. I think every 2 weeks is kind of right in our wheelhouse of getting the information out there. But to your point, you know, if we need to go weekly for a while, like we have been this month of December, then, you know, we can hopefully make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And I think as we'll segue into the last segment, but I mean, I think as 2021 gets started, you know, I think it's going to be heavily about vaccination. You know, it'll be about the transition in the White House, Congress. As we're talking here, it looks like it's all but sure that we're going to have a new Speaker of the House on Beacon Hill here in Boston. Those are some huge, you know, transition points. But I think for the average listener out there, you know, it's really about the vaccinations, and really about, you know, my anticipation is in 2021, we're going to see, you know, the rollout of the vaccinations. We're going to see a lot of vaccination politics. We're going to see the world becoming vaccinated. You know, we're not going to eradicate the virus in 4 months. We're still going to probably have to wear masks for the large portion of 2021. You know, as I've joked about before, but kind of serious, I'm certainly going to be last on the list for the vax. But in truth, you know, I think in addition to that, while that's understanding, people are going to have to be required to have an incredible amount of patience. The next 90 to 120 days, I do expect in January and this winter to be tough. Mm-hmm. We're going to see a lot more change, and we're going to see some economic effects.
Yeah.
And you just want to hope by the time we get to Memorial Day and entering into the summer, you know, that hopefully there's a greater sense of normalcy and calm that can come over our country and our state and our community. And then we can start to move on to the, what, you know, Anne-Marie and I would all kind of talk about is like this post pandemic life, and it's going to be a slow transition. There's not, I don't see a day where we're going to take a pill and be done.
No.
You know, it's going to take some time to fold out of this. Today, we're taping this today on the 18th. Today's the 9 month anniversary. 9 months since the town government really shut down completely. 9 months, we've just been able to accomplish so much. It's almost crazy to think about. It's only been 9 months since we knew nothing about the virus, the way we've handled the science, the transition, retrofitting our buildings, dealing with all of our personnel. You know, like I said at the council meeting last week, you know, we have families, we have loved ones we're taking care of, we have kids, you know, the staff do. And, you know, as you look out, I see a lot of hope and optimism. It's going to require some patience, but I hope we can get to the summer and just start to begin to feel a little more free, back to what we thought of only 9 months ago.
Yes. Yeah. And it has been painful, some more pain for others. And yeah, to your point, I'm hopeful that the vaccine will at least get us to a better health status, which then will enable everything else. So business will be a little bit easier. Business will be, you know, less restricted at least. And thereby everything else can start happening. So that's my hope for sure.
I still have this optimism that, you know, we're going to hear a lot of harsh stories. We've already heard them, but we're going to hear a lot more hard ones in January and February and March about business. And it looks like Congress is primed to pass some additional unemployment insurance. Thank God. Because the people that, you know, out of work right now, this is their Great Depression. This isn't just a recession. This is this is a total collapse of a segment of our society. A lot of us are fortunate and beyond lucky enough not only to have a job, but be able to continue to do it remotely. There are some industries that just don't work like that, particularly restaurants, hospitality, tourism, even construction and some others, right?
Yeah.
And this for them is, as Fareed Zakaria says, and he's right. This is for a lot of Americans, not just in Franklin, but think a little bigger than just us. You know, this is their Great Depression. This is literally as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
And you know, we need to realize that hopefully when we get back on track a little and we're able to go out safely, the idea here is that hopefully people are so excited to get back out that hopefully that rebound is a little faster than what we've seen traditionally from other economic rebounds. We hear the hotels will be a long industry to recover. We understand that. But, you know, when you get into that consumer spending piece, you know, that is something that can have a sizable impact. And I'm hopeful the concert industry and restaurants and, you know, once we're able to go back in the arena, or go to the festival and go to the clubs, people are going to go and they're going to spend that money faster and more than probably we've ever seen in a recovery before. Right, Emery?
Agreed. I think we're all just, you know, have a different level of gratitude for all the things that we took for granted and didn't realize, you know, how much we would miss. Just things that you never really thought twice about. And now, you know, not being able to do things we love or see people that we love is, you know, it's a lesson. And you know, we've talked a lot about this type of a thing. And we've talked a lot about trying to find the silver lining here. And I, while so much of this has obviously been incredibly difficult and incredibly sad, I do try to find some of the things that have happened this year that aren't terrible. And, you know, I've spent an enormous amount of time with my family. So, you know, as someone who has two kids grown up, you know, one who's going to be going off to college in a year and a half, you know, I'm going to hold tight to the fact that we got to spend so much time together this year. I don't know if they feel the same, but we've gotten to spend an enormous amount of time together as a family. And I think there's a level of bonding that we've developed over this and going through something like this together as a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to see that, and I have to believe that in some way that's a positive, and that's going to be something that maybe we carry through for the, you know, the rest of our lives together, of something we went through together, and that, you know, we can get through something else that comes our way.
Yeah. And having had kids in that age group, and then now they're older because time has passed, there'll be the time, because I've already seen it, where, you know, a few years down the road, they'll look back and will be able to laugh about these and they'll say, oh, remember when we did that? And you know, but the bonding, as painful as sometimes as it is, it's a base for us to continue to build on. And as long as we continue to do that, to look for some of the silver linings, yeah, it's not to overlook the pain, because the pain is there. We can't ignore that, but go forward with some hope, and certainly grateful that we have our health at this point to continue to go with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Well, again, thank you very much for the entire year. As I've said, I don't know exactly what the number was, but it's between 25 and 30. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of info, a lot of conversation. Hopefully people have indeed learned. We know, at least from the stats, you know, we've had some sessions where there were 1,000 people that listened, and some sessions there was maybe like 500 or so. So we are making a mark. I feel good about it. I'm glad you're continuing to help to participate, and I'm looking forward to 2021 in more virus plenty of vaccine, rather, not more virus, more vaccine.
Yeah,
more
viruses. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all of your time, Steve, you know, in helping us put this together and the conference bridge and making this all possible in this environment. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't have done it without you. So.
And Franklin TV, you know, but, you know, I think that this speaks a lot to the challenges we all have, which is, you know, we're all getting our information from so many different places. We respect the people that buy the newspaper still every day. We respect the fact that people get it all from social media. We respect the fact that people hopefully enjoy these podcasts. You know, I would just say that, and kind of ending off, you know, I think it's critical for the listeners who are here and hear this. You know, please at least go to the sources, you know, Franklin TV, the town website, town official social media pages, you know, Franklin TV, you know, Franklin Matters. I mean, these are places that have facts, and that's different than opinions. And this is a challenge, I think, in talking about the year past, mm-hmm. and year moving forward. You know, I you know, with Google being sued and Facebook being sued, all this stuff, I think there's an opportunity here for, as I've always said to you, Steve, for this kind of medium and what we've done is an opportunity to convey the facts as opposed to people's opinions. We respect opinions, but yeah. Opinions don't necessarily always mean that it's the right information.
Right.
And I think that has been something in 2020, virus aside, and even before, has been a challenge for our country in the large view. And it's something that we should be very thankful and grateful for, that we have a vibrant local information center in Franklin TV and Franklin Matters and the town of Franklin. So, mm-hmm. You know, just a quick plug, if people have made it this far in the show, to go follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow Franklin Matters and tune into Franklin TV, where you're seeing us fresh in the blood right there, hold our officials accountable. And hopefully people will continue to tune in next year for what's going to be obviously another challenging year, but one with a lot of hope and optimism.
Yeah. So everybody listening, you know, maintain the social distancing, the masks, be careful with the holidays, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.